Welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trutter. After over 800 plus successful dental startups, I'm here to share everything I know about starting a profitable and purposeful dental practice with you.
Welcome back to the Startup Dentist Podcast. It is great to be here. If you're an associate, and you probably are because you're listening here, I want you to definitely check out one of my most recent episodes where I talk about overcoming that mental hurdle of becoming a practice owner. Listen, I understand there's fear of debt, there's finding patients, but I share a ton of success stories about the implementation of great strategies to do it and really getting to that place. There's never that perfect time to open a practice or become a practice owner, whether you acquire a practice or start up your own practice. But you get to that point where you say, I can't accomplish anything more as an associate. It's now time to become a practice owner. So check out that most recent episode. Today, I've got a special guest, but today's episode, we're going to be focusing on even life after opening your doors, those first 90 days of becoming a practice owner, some realities coming from one of our experts here. So grab your notebook and let's make this dream practice of yours a living and breathing reality. All right, folks. So I always talk so much on our podcast here about leading up or in really the process of opening the doors of a startup, the steps that are involved, the common pitfalls, the people that need to be involved, even the prep. But one of the things is, well, what happens after the doors happen and what happens, especially in those crucial 90 days? And it's so important because if you think about like a cannon, I've never shot a cannon, but imagine cannonball goes in. You just don't want to like dribble out. It needs to like, boom, go. And that's what a startup has to be. There's this old saying in sales. It's like sales cures all. Yeah. Listen, that sales, those are patients. So we're going to talk a lot about like patient flow. What do you, yes, you as the practice owner need to do within those first 90 days? And it's so crucial because there is the emotional like high of getting open. You're building up all this and you're like, you're so excited, but kind of think about like that psychology of opening up, which is you want to make sure that you open up right. It's not about skipping things. It's not about quickly getting open. It's about like having a plan to truly get open so that you actually have a business and you're not like that first 90 days trying to like put away supplies and like figure out where everything is. Like your butt should be ready to go when that first 90 days, the day you open, you need to be ready to go. And your team also, that think about your team, you've hired a team and this team may have left other dental practices. So they're looking at you as their leader. You are their leader. And so they also want to have this confidence that maybe some of them are like, oh man, I left another job and now I'm following this person. So think about those other people. So it's not just you. It's also about like the psychology and the mindset of your entire team and your entire practice to be prepared for those first 90 days. And what we have seen time and time again, I've been a part of nearly 1,000 startups is fast starts out of the gate. I like to bet. I wouldn't call myself a degenerate gambler by any means, but I like to bet on things. Horses, golf, Russian ping pong. Yes, I have done that many times. However, think about horses. Like there are late kickers. There are people that are late kicks and horses that have a late kick. This is not a racehorse. This is a practice. And so like you don't want to start slow and be like, oh, I have this late kick, because you'll run out of money if you don't have that fast start. So it's important that you get out of the gate. So, hey there, Startup Dentist Podcast listeners. It's Stephen Trutter here, taking a quick break from today's episode to share something special with you. If you're dreaming of owning your own dental practice, then you need to get your hands on our Startup Dentist book. This isn't just any book. It's a 200 plus page comprehensive guide that covers everything you need to know to start a successful dental practice. From picking the perfect location to designing a patient-friendly office to building a marketing plan that draws in your ideal patients, we've got you covered. This book is packed with insider tips and real-world strategies. Joining me today is a very special person from the Ideal Practices team. She has over 3 decades of experience on the business side of dentistry, which is amazing because you look at her and be like, there's no way she has 3 decades. But she said she started in dental industry at 5. Actually, it was 15. You told me the story. I remember. She is the one of our directors here at Ideal Practices. She's the director of our dental MBA team. This team of advisors guides our clients all over the country in building the business systems, the foundational elements, the hiring strategies, the protocols, all the systems, really helping associate dentists become confident practice owners. She also leads what we call our A5G marketing strategy, which is having a strategy to actually have patients from day one. So that person today is Stacy Peters. So Stacy, it was a long introduction, but welcome to the Startup Dentist Podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You've been here before.
I've been here before. But I'm really excited about this one because I think this is a really, really important topic. Because people always ask me, you know, what's the difference between your most successful client and one that starts a little bit slower? And this, what happens, you know, preparing for the first 90 days and during the 90 days, that's it. That's key. That is what's going to set the foundation for the future. So I'm excited about having this call with you.
Well, I'm pretty harsh on that sometimes. You know, when people ask, even at our course, Startup Practice Blueprint, they talk about like, hey, we hear the success stories. Tell us the ones, you know, the biggest differentiator. And if I'm kind of black and white, I'll just say, they listened. Yeah. The best ones listened. They followed. Think about your patients. If you're, as a dentist, like your greatest probably success stories were probably the dentists that were compliant. I have 3 daughters, Bennett, Keaton, and Rowan. And Bennett, my oldest, unfortunately didn't wear her retainers very well after braces. But my middle daughter, who has a multi thousands of dollars mouth at this point. She's had everything go along. Beautiful smile. Kiki, her name's Kiki, actually. She goes by, oh, Keaton. She goes by Kiki. So my middle daughter has this beautiful smile. She has had expanders twice. She had like the little chains to pull down her canines, teeth pulled, you name it. Like, and she's like, I'm wearing my retainers because she's had braces. She goes, I know, perfect teeth. And now my oldest daughter goes, yeah, I wish I wore my retainers. Now she's trying to shove them in now. And it's like, they don't fit right. But she's trying. I'll give her credit. So it's like, wait a minute. I had one compliant patient in my family and another not compliant, different outcomes. So my oldest daughter now does say, I wish I have a little bit of regret. So, compliancy is a good thing. So follow this. So, okay. So, you were telling a story earlier, but I like to frame it this way. This for those that are opening their doors, the thing about opening your doors, folks, let me give you something. You're making a big decision here. This is a 2 to 3 decade decision. What's another 2 weeks or 2 months? Because a startup, especially in today's environment, it could be 12 months. It could be 18 months. Heck, it could be 24 months. There's a lot of different factors that are out there. Finding real estate, timelines for construction, permit times, like vary from state to state, municipality. I mean, they could be 6 months or more in permit time. So like, folks, I get it. Like the clock is ticking. You've made this choice, but I think a lot of people want to skip over the end and go, I just want to get open and see everything. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's a strategy of getting open. And especially when we talk about those last couple of weeks, Stace, of like getting the doors open, there's a lot of effort that goes in there. So folks, like this is a 2 decade decision, not a 2 week decision. So you've seen this time and time again. What are your thoughts on that, Stacey?
It's so, so important to get this right. So you go through the whole process of construction and, you know, and with us, you'll go through, you know, learning, you know, creating your protocols and your systems and, you know, you're learning a whole lot of, and then you get your certificate of occupancy. It's vital. It's so important. I can't even stress this enough. It's so important that you take 2 weeks to train with your team before you open your doors.
Yeah.
Now, during those 2 weeks, there's going to be a lot of button pushing, a lot of learning software, a lot of, you know, things that it's not always fun. You know, unboxing supplies, sterilizing instruments. There's a lot to do during those 2 weeks. And time again, I find that, you know, clients, even the ones that, you know, followed the process to the T, you know, maybe they were delayed in permitting. And now they're like, no, I have to get open. I have to get open. All right. But you want to just open or you want to open right? Because if just opening is... Yeah. It's not the way to go. It's not going to produce the results that you're looking for. You need to open right. You need to nail that patient experience, you know, before you open your doors. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, people don't love going to the dentist. They just don't. And, you know, if it's a restaurant and they go to a restaurant, people are so forgiving, especially since COVID. they'll go to a restaurant, maybe have some bad service, and they'll like blame all short staffed, and you know, people are so forgiving now. But they don't want to go to the dentist anyway.
Right.
They're not going to be forgiving of a bad first experience there. They're just not. It's not the same as going to a restaurant.
Yes.
Even since COVID. So
especially when you're in the new dentist on the corner, or like we always say, like, you know, help you schedule out patients, and every once in a while people are like, you get this date in mind where it's like, okay, I'm going to be able to be open on Monday. You start scheduling patients out. Okay, folks, the kiss of death is to call up a patient who's never been to your practice and go, hi, you've never seen me. You've never met me. We need to reschedule. Like, that is punishable by like capital punishment around these, you know, parts of ideal practices. Like, pull you up by your fingernails or toenails or something.
Very bad first impression.
Yes. And I get the rush.
Yeah.
You know, the rush. Yeah. We understand. Like the clock is ticking. You maybe run out free. You know, there's free rent. You have a loan payment. Totally understand. But what we don't in the first 90 days shouldn't be a crash course in running your practice. The first 90 days, there's going to be we'll talk about focus, where that focus needs to be. But the first 90 days should be like, oh, now we're trying to figure out things. No, you should be doing that leading up to the opening time, the 90 days before opening, not taking the first 90 days of like figuring this out. So some great wisdom here. 2 weeks. Like you get your certificate of occupancy, take 2 weeks, train. Is it every day? But you need to be training on software. You need to bring your team in because you can't occupy like legally. Okay, folks, legally, you can't occupy your space until you have what's called a CO, which is a certificate of occupancy. So that means your team can't be in their training until that document comes from your contractor. It says you can now occupy this space. So I understand you get your CO on Friday and all of a sudden it's like Monday or Tuesday, we're opening our doors. Don't do it. It is, you're not ready. Your team's not ready. And then everyone's just going to be scattered. You're going to be like chasing cats and chickens or whatever. Yeah. Animal that's hard to catch. Yeah.
It's
like
going
that.
To be a poor first impression for those patients, but also you'll create such a stressful atmosphere that your team most likely won't stay.
Well, we had a scientific term for it a few years ago. We called it the you know what show. The blank T show. That's what we called it. When we clients be like, what could happen? It's science. It's called the you know what show.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So
we don't want that.
Avoid that.
2 weeks to avoid that.
Two weeks. Listen, folks, 2 weeks, you're making a 2-decade to 3-decade decision. That's it. Do it right. You mentioned Dr. Jason earlier. Yeah. What did he say?
Yeah. I did Dr. Jason's dress rehearsal just last week. So what a coincidence. And he did not want to take the 2 weeks. He wanted to get open. He needed to get open. He was delayed in the final inspection stage and he had, you know, team that, you know, had, you know, coming on and he just, and bills to pay, like everyone else.
Yep.
And so, he really fought me on, you know, the 2 weeks and I did convince him for the 2 weeks. And he said to me in the parking lot, as I was leaving, he said, thank you for convincing me to take those 2 weeks because we would not have had the same outcome. And he said, so if you have any other clients that you need to convince to do the 2 weeks, have them call me. He said, cause I could have even used the third. He said, you could quote me.
We did.
Yes, Jason, exactly.
We're quoting you here today, Dr. Jason, if you're listening out there. So thank you very much. Yeah. And it's so valuable to take that time and think about like, folks, there is also a mental mindset thing that's here. You're shifting from associate to business owner. You can't do that over a weekend. It's even harder for 2 weeks. Like this is timely. So that for those 2 weeks leading up to opening your doors, it's important to start thinking about like what needs to be done, preparation, small things, putting things away, getting presets done on equipment, making sure practice management software is being, you have to not just watching a couple of, you know, YouTube videos on practice management software, like actual training in your office, training on your equipment, making sure that you perfect that new patient experience. Because the thing that we always want for every one of our clients' ideal practices is we never want that first patient to ever know they were a first patient. Because it's a well-oiled machine and that's what you want from day one. You want to be settled and ready to go. So awesome stuff. Okay. So first 90 days, open their doors. One of the big things we always talk about is patient flow. Well, actually, you know what? Let's talk about this. Before I get there are challenges in the first 90 days. there are, let's talk about some realities here.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's like the emotional roller coaster. Oh my God, I'm nervous. Oh my God, I'm opening. I'm excited. Okay. Like, now you have a staffing problem. Can happen. Things like that. It's lonely. You're a practice owner. Things like that. Stacy, what's that reality of those first 90 days? Like, what are some maybe the unexpected realities in some of the challenges that exist, especially as a new practice owner that we have seen time and time again? But, you know, like, again, it's just the realities of opening up. And folks, this is not meant to scare anybody. It's like, but you're pulling from a combined experience here of like 50 years of experience of startups. Like, we've had lots of sofa moments with clients, like lay on, sit on the sofa. Let's talk through like all kinds of freak out opportunities. So what are those unexpected realities?
Well, I think one of the biggest unexpected realities, I mean, you hit on it. One of the biggest is, you know, how lonely it can feel. Everyone is looking to you for the answers.
Yeah.
And you have no one to look to for the answers.
Right.
So, you know, you're the one who's supposed to know all the answers.
Right.
I think that's one of the biggest unexpected reality, and also the emotional whiplash that you go through that you were talking about. Like, you know, one minute you're, you know, excited about your first glowing review, and the next minute you're Googling how you can sell your practice back. Like, it's really, you know, it's such extreme emotions, like a roller coaster, like super high highs, and then a little bit of stomach.
Why the hell did I do this?
And then, at the end of the roller coaster, you're like, yeah, that was awesome. So, you know, it can be the good stuff about the roller coaster ride too. Dr. Lindsay would, when she first opened, we have, you know, calls several times a week for the first couple of weeks. And, you know, we would talk on Monday, and she would talk about how light her schedule looks, and she's just in such a panic, and why did she do this? And then our call on Friday, she's like, I had the best day. I had the best week. This was better than any moment. You know, even the worst day was better than, you know, the best day as an associate. And so, like, it's such extreme emotions, and I don't think people really expect that.
Yeah. You know, I remember Dr. Andrew. People had Dr. Andrew on the podcast before. Dr. Andrew Vallo, he has his own podcast, but little known fact, like, he is my own dentist here in Tampa, Florida. So, like, well, I don't see him. I mean, he's, you know, but anyhow, he is my dentist. And remember, you were his advisor, actually, during this. And I remember he when he opened his doors, he said, you know, how was that first day? And he's like, it wasn't perfect, but it was great. You know, like, he came home and his wife, Dana's like, hey, how's that first day? And he's like, today was great. And he said, I've never said that about my associate position before, you know, ever came home and said, today was great. And he's like, not everything was perfect, but he goes, he could see what was happening. Now, fast forward four years, and now he's up to 10 practices. So listen, he's done something well. Dr. Lindsay has a multi-million-dollar, you know, practice herself. As folks, there is that emotional roller coaster that's going to happen. So there is that reality that's there. I think with team members that are there, like, that's one of the big challenges, Stacey. Like, finding the right team members.
The other unexpected challenge is, you know, how difficult it can be to manage teams, their expectations, you know, getting them on board with you. You know, they're testing you out too, just as much as you're testing them for their skills. You know, they want to, you're still deciding whether or not, you know, you're the kind of boss that they'll follow into battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you're also dealing with them and their personal lives, and, you know, are showing up on time. And there are a lot of unexpected challenges with team members too. So that's a great big learning curve there.
I think that's one of the biggest learning curves. Yeah. Is managing people. And I think if I could share, like, my experience, and Stacey, you know this well, as managing people, is read as many books about management and people and personalities as you can, folks. There's a ton of books that are out there. Understand DISC profiles. If anybody doesn't know what this stuff is, like, here, I got actually something that's here. You know, DISC is this. It's John Maxwell. It's, you know, understanding people's personalities, because speaking and how people respond to things are way, way different. And I think that's a big challenge for most non-business owners, is when you become a business owner, it's like, a lot of times you're managed a certain way. And so think of yourself as an associate, like, you respond a certain way, you do things a certain way, and you think, well, everybody will do it the way that I want it, and everybody can be talked to the same way that I can be talked to. You know, like you and I, Stacey and I are direct people. We're very high D on the disc profile. So like we could just be like, go do this, go do that, get done. For others, it's like, okay, we need to massage this message a little bit differently. And so I think with younger generation of people, you have to massage a little bit more what that message is. You have to kind of understand like what makes them tick. And I think it's important to start learning more about that aspect, because every one of you will step into a dental practice and say, cool, clinical dentistry, patient comes in, you'll be able to do everything in front for that patient. It's the management behind the scenes that is that learning curve in that first 90 days. So if you can fast track that and really understand connecting with people, building teams, and read as much information out there about team building. And that's one thing that we guide our clients through, but that first 90 days is really understanding people. And I'll also say this, like, you may fire a person in your first 90 days, right, Stacey? Like,
absolutely.
There's a lot of professional interviewers out there. It's like, wow, this person was a great person. And then all of a sudden it's like, ooh, 30 days in, the excuses start to fly. Oh yeah, I had to go take my kid here. Oh yeah, I had a doctor. Oh yeah, the power was out that day. And it's like, okay.
My car broke down. I had a flat tire.
Like, there's a lot of breaking down cars and flat tires that exist. It's amazing.
Even during your due diligence, you know, you run your background checks, you check their references, and you know, it happens. And it happens a lot with startups. So, you know, there's a good chance that you may not, you know, still have the same team 5 years from now.
That's a reality. Some of our clients have had teams for 4 or 5 years. Some of them are like complete turnover. And sometimes you may find not the perfect person. Again, like you may not find that perfect person from day one. Mm-hmm. You may find that person who is perfect, never thought they would be, or vice versa. But I think it's not looking for perfection from day one. It's about like, there might be that person. It's like maybe a diamond in the rough. Could be a good person as a placeholder for the first 6 to 12 months until you find that next person, or that you build up your revenue to a point to afford a better person. So there's also that balance of affordability of that person, in this first, you know, days of opening. I think everything is about like even keel, you know, like kind of keep an even mindset of that. You know, there's going to be the emotional highs and lows. You know, we celebrate so many wins, with our clients, you know, their $5,000 production day, their first $10,000 production day. We have tons of stories about that. And again, there's going to be those days that are going to be lows and highs, days with great patient flow. So I think, Stacey, if we can kind of shift into like, okay, what do we need to be focusing on in those first 90 days? Like to be mentally strong, but also like, okay, what do dentists today, what do they hear from somebody that has done this so many times, those first 90 days? I always say patient flow is key, but what do they need to do in those first 90 days? Like, what are they responsible for?
So, you know, we just talked about the first 2 weeks. So the first 2 weeks is learning what buttons to push, how to answer how to do this, how to move the chairs up and down. You know, so first 2 weeks, you know, you're doing a lot of button pushing. At the end of those 2 weeks is the day that you have your dress rehearsal with your advisor. And that's when you start to make the switch from button pushing learning to creating the culture and the experience. And so the core priorities will be to build the culture that you're looking for from day one of the 90 days. It's really what you do in the first 90 days.
We're pre-planning that even like the first day they even talk with Ideal Practices, like on their vision call, it's like we're pre-planning what that is, that culture is. So and this isn't like, we're not just doing it that day. It's like, this could be 12 months, like in a buildup of like, now is today we're implementing this culture.
Right. That we've sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle of the button pushing. Sometimes it gets, you know, you're focused on business decisions and business, you know, business things that you have to get. Or did I order that hand piece? Where you're so focused on these, you know, pieces that you lose a little bit of focus on the culture and that, you know, experience. And you can't, like, this is, so we've learned all of that. And now you move into the phase where you're building the culture and you're perfecting that patient experience. And none of that will stick without good leadership. So the first 90 days is about building the culture, creating that
purpose
experience, right? And then, and good leadership. Now, speaking of purpose with the three P's, profits will then follow. And I'm not saying don't lose track of that. Don't lose time because part of learning, you know, you have to learn the revenue cycle and, you know, things like that as well. But even that won't come if you don't nail the culture and you don't nail the patient experience.
Yeah. Not too long ago, I had Dr. Arthi on the podcast, and like Dr. Arthi, everyone, like, you have to listen to that podcast, everybody. Like her story, it's like determination, but like in a marketplace. But the one thing that she talked about was each patient was making a connection. Each patient had intentionality. Each patient had purpose. And so like when I've talked about this before, you know, 3P methodology, practice, profits, and purpose, like profits will come when there's a purpose. And so you have to hold on to what that purpose is of your practice and connecting with an individual patient. And it's not just about, you know, like, okay, yes, you need hundreds of patients in from day one. We'll talk about those first 100 patients here in a moment, but I think it's really important that the first patient make a connection, the next patient make a connection. You're making a 2 to 3 decade decision. It doesn't happen in the first couple of days of opening either. So it's, I hate the analogy. It's a marathon, not a sprint, blah, blah. No, it's a sprinting marathon, folks. That's what it is. You're sprinting really fast for a marathon for the next 2 decades. So, I think it's important to really have that focus on that, building that culture. That's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's it's a short window. You know, it's short window, 90 days is a really short amount of time to create that, you know, long-term, you know, ripple. Yep. So, you know, it's important to, you know, make sure that the focus is on that. And, you know, you can't do all of that without, you know, being a good leader to your team.
Yep.
So setting the right example, creating the culture,
yes,
getting the buy-in, of your team,
yes,
and then nailing that patient experience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's something that we always do is like, and you talk about that at the course, because Stacy holds court at the Start Practice Blueprint, talking about the new patient experience. That's just not like you just open your doors and go, all right, cool, here's what's going to be. It's like, no, this was planned out months in advance. And it's almost like when we talk about the dress rehearsal, it is a rehearsal. It is truly rehearsal. We come on site, dress rehearsal a day or two in some cases, like everybody is like in their spot. So imagine like a Broadway play or, you know, a rehearsal for a wedding rehearsal. It's like, where does everybody stand at a certain time? And what happens when this happens? And when that music plays, you walk over there. It's like, that's what's going on. So folks, like all that has to be pre-planned leading up to this. So it's not just opening your doors and go, okay, cool, let's see patients. Your team isn't ready. They don't know what you want. So it's part of that leadership isn't, you know, you've talked about leadership a lot, and I think leadership isn't simply just, it's not just about like, barking orders, and it's not about that, but it is setting the tone. It is defining the culture. And I think it's also defining to your team the expectation, because then they can more confidently do their jobs when they know what the expectation is, or how are they judged based upon performance. In other words, like, help me get this kind of experience or maybe best kind of review and things like that from a patient. So if you think through that lens, your team is there as an outstretched arm. So it's not so much like you need to be the dentist that's barking out orders. You need to be the person that says, here's the expectation. Help me get this experience from each patient. Then your team also has a greater confidence because they have a goal. When teams don't have a goal, they're going to do it themselves. It's probably not going to be right. Then you're going to be like overcorrect, as opposed to setting the standard up front. So I think leading up to that first 90 days, it's revisiting that culture element, revisiting like, this is why we're doing what we're doing. Let's create this kind of experience from patient one in those first 90 days.
Exactly. Spot on. Yep. And, you know, leading your team is different than managing your team. I mean, teams need to be managed a little bit too, but you're not going to get the culture that you want or the patient experience that you want without leading them to it.
Yep. And I think the first 90 days also is from a functional perspective is they're expect to wear a lot of hats, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think we touched on that. It's like,
the CEO, the dentist, the janitor, the coffee maker, before noon.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you may be putting through a claim to insurance. We're going to teach you. We do all that. We teach because you need to know all these things inside your practice is important. And then over time, sure, show you how to delegate within those areas. But those first 90 days, folks, you're going to wear, like you said, yes, you are the janitor. You're stocking the toilet paper. Oh yeah. You might be doing all those things in your practice, that are there. So, awesome. So Stace, hey, let's talk about like, marketing in the first 90 days, the expectation. I think there are marketing agencies out there. People have heard me say this, like an agency is not a marketing strategy. Yes, we have lots of great marketing agencies that we work with, and they will all say they are not the total solution. That's not a cop out for them. It's just the first 90 days. It's not about like, yes, Google Ads and SEO, but they don't work in the first night. They kind of work in the first 90 days, but they're not as effective in the first 90 days. So I see a lot of people like on Facebook groups going, I've been open for 90 days or 60. I've been open for 30 days. My agency's not bringing anybody, any patients in. Who else is everybody using? It's not their fault. It's not their fault. It is your responsibility to do what, Stacey? What is their responsibility?
I tell everyone, it is your responsibility to bring in your first 100 patients without relying on a market.
That's right.
It's really important. And I people ask me all the time, you know, what's the difference between your most successful offices and the ones that grow a little bit slower? Well, that's it. That is the difference. And, you know, and it's not that, you know, you won't be successful long term. You know, I don't want to scare anyone. They, you know, that you have to do all these things or you won't be successful, but you need money. You need patience in the chair. And if you open your doors and then sit there and wait for your phone to ring based on Google Ads and SEO, it's just not going to happen.
It's going to be a lot of crickets,
right? It takes Google, you know, 90 days for it to index you, like for you to even show up where you need to be. Takes 90 days for Google Ads and all the testing to get through. It's not, you can't flip a switch with marketing and expect a ton of patients. Will it help? Sure, it will.
Yes.
And there are things that you can do with those first 100 patients that will help your growth too. I mean, you nail that patient experience. You know, I hope that you get at least 25 reviews out of those first 100 patients. Now, reviews will, you know, help the, how quickly SEO will work. Reviews will help, you know, how quickly everything Google will work. So getting those reviews, but also, you know, give them the amazing patient experience and they're going to market for you. You know, they're going to leave a great review, but they're also going to tell their friends and family, you know, that it was such an unexpected, amazing experience. You have to go here. That's going to be your biggest marketing for your first 90 days. And also, you know, getting out there and being a part of your community.
Yeah.
You want to be involved in your community, and that's how you're going to get your first 100 patients. And why you want to be involved in your community. You want, you know, when somebody mentions dentists, you want your community to instantly mention your name. You want you know, you to be the go-to dentist in your area. Yeah. And there's, you know, some things that you need to do to prepare for that and to make that happen. It's work, but it's worth it.
And we call it a VIP list. You know, like, you know, it's not like a trademark term, but it's like we actually call it a VIP list. Like those first 100 patients, like it's family, it's friends of friends. The other thing is like on social media and things like that, it's a buildup. Like what I love is when I see our clients chronicling their journey within social media saying, hey, like there are no walls. Oh, wait a minute. Now the framing is up. Oh, wait a minute. Now the plumbing is going in. Folks, that's just, you're just dropping little bitty tidbits of a buildup for your opening. Those are things that are essential to getting open quick. And I think it's valuable to really understand those first 100 patients, they are your responsibility. We're seeing this from a perspective of they need to be yours. You need to think of them as your responsibility and go find those first 100 patients, connecting locally within your community. I always say this, like getting comfortable being uncomfortable. That's just what this is. Like, are you going to what I can't stand, and I've been on social media forums where I have a lot of dentists agree with this, which I love, is I love the dentists are like, well, I'm an introvert. I'm just not really good. I don't really care. Get good at getting uncomfortable. Listen, folks, like I like staying home and not going anywhere and boarded up house and things like that. Like, but I know like but my responsibility is to help educate associate dentists. So I need to be on stage and I do those things. Listen, folks. A new person sits in front of you every day in a dental chair and you make a connection with them to do what? To provide dental care to them. You don't need the perfect post. You don't need the perfect meeting or the perfect event. What you need to do is just be yourself. Go out there and make connections. Those that say, oh, I'm an introvert. I'm not really good at it. It's because you haven't tried or you tried once. It didn't work. That post didn't work. Folks, quit making excuses. Go out and get your first 100 patients. That is what you need to do. This is a startup. You can go out there. You can do it. I've seen some of the most introverted dentists go out there. Stacey, we've seen it time and time again.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go do it. Go do it. Don't question it. Go implement. Make that list. Think of think of, I love the wisdom of like, if you think about those first 100 patients and the first 20 or 25 come in and you get reviews for them. Oh my goodness, folks, you have now you're in the top like 1% of all startups, like overnight, because most startups don't do that. The typical startup goes, okay, I'm open. I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to be doing for marketing. That's what I see time and time again. Or I love the post of people going, hey, I'm getting ready to open my doors. What's everybody doing for marketing? No one can give you exactly what you should be doing in your particular marketplace, but there are fundamental things. And what you should be focused on is, what do I need to do to get my patients through the door from day one? I'm going to have an agency. I'm going to have a website. All those things are going to be absolutely essential.
And that VIP list is very expensive. I mean, it's very important too. So yes. The VIP list isn't just a kind of a list in your head of people that are going to come in and see you.
Nope.
It is not the person who said, yeah, when you open your doors, I'm going to come see you. You actually need to purposely create this VIP list, meaning someone says, oh, I can't wait for you to open your doors. Great. Go ahead and write your name or number down here, and I will add you to our VIP list, and you'll be one of the first people we call as soon as we start scheduling.
Have something printed up. It's like you can hand it to them and say, you're going to be on a special list. I'm going to be on a special list? Wow.
Right. But people are procrastinators just by nature. And, you know, We need to get those first 100 patients in quickly. We need to get those first 100 patients in within your first month, or, you know, within your first 60 days, at least within your first 90 days. We need to get the first 100 patients in quickly. And if you wait for them to call you, you could be waiting. And they still may call, but they're not going to call in the time frame you need them to call.
That's right.
So you getting their information, them being on this list, now you have a list of 100 people to call before you open your doors.
That's right.
So call and you get them on the schedule. They're more likely to schedule if you reach out to them than you waiting for them to reach out to you. I'll tell you another secret about Andrew, my friend Andrew Gallo. Mm-hmm. I don't think he slept like during his process.
I don't know if he does ever. I don't know if he's cloned himself now or,
I don't know. And he doesn't talk about this a lot on his podcast, and I keep poking him. You gotta say this. He had over 400 people on his VIP list before he opened his doors. His front desk person and I, we like started reaching out to them, and like then they started calling in, and we're starting to lose track. 400 people on this VIP, 400 people to call to schedule before he opened his doors.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got involved in his community. He attended every event that happened in the Tampa area, I swear.
He was here. We had the strategy for him to get recognized through one of the local news channels because of what he gave back in his community. He's got ties to one of the largest animal shelters in all of Tampa and things like that. Like that connection, bigger connection to the community based upon something that he and his wife were actually passionate about. So it wasn't just about like folks. So it wasn't about dentistry and discounts. But what were there things that he did that we always recommend for dentists to, you know, it's the stick or the carrot, you know, like sometimes we need the carrot, not the stick to get people through the door. Yeah. Listen, there's free things you can get to get people through the door. But I think that VIP needs to be intentional. It can't just be like, oh, I have some names. You need to be outbounding to them. You need to be. So this is where a startup isn't just about like getting open. I think most people focus on like, I need to have space. I need chairs and then I can just open my doors. There's so many other layers that are here that are behind the scenes that we're telling you, like, this is how great success stories. This is how we built some of the greatest success stories in all dentistry is by these methodologies, getting those people through the door, which means taking time. And folks, in my next episode, I'm going to talk about like leaving your associate position. Like, I'm with one of our clients, like that reality of I need to leave. Taking time from your associate position. So I'm kind of like foreshadowing a message, which is you can't work 5 days a week as an associate and expect your startup to go well. It will not. You need to find time in your schedule and you need to make time for your startup to be able to call these people, to be able to build your VIP lists so that your first 90 days, you're rocking. Listen, there's going to be bumps in the road, 100%. You're going to have challenges in those first 90 days. But I think it's about having that foundation underneath you of the opportunity, having the systems, having being prepared, having a plan, having a VIP, having all these things so that first 90 days is less rocky, and that having that foundation, that culture defined doesn't make you, makes you have a better foundation underneath of you. If you can imagine like having like a bumpy road and a smooth road, it's like how smooth can that road be in the first 90 days? That way you're not going to fly off the road because you're going to be running. You're going to be driving 100 miles per hour in the first 90 days. in a bumpy road, you're going to fly off the road. But if it's nice and smooth, it could be a lot smoother. So it's about having a smoother road so that when you do have those things that come up, you're more resilient to them because you have a better foundation. You understand your team. You're ready to lead. You've got all these elements in front of you. So good stuff. Good stuff. Everybody, thank you. Stacy, thank you for being here. Awesome wisdom. If you want to hear from Stacy, if you want to hear from experts like her, then check out our upcoming event, Startup Practice Blueprint, or SPB as we call it, because we love acronyms here, at startuppracticeblueprint.com. This is where we take our entire 13-stage process, unfold it over 2 days with industry leaders, industry experts, clients that have attended, that have gone through our process. So a panel of former clients and current clients have gone through this. You'll hear Stacy talk about all these marketing strategies and the systems in the startup MBA, there. So Startup Practice Blueprint. We're coming up on one here really soon. Seats do fill up. It's limited, to like 25 dentists because it's a lot of custom and it's a ton of content. So check that out, startuppracticeblueprint.com. Stacy, thank you for being here. All right, everybody, that is a wrap on those first 90 days. Don't forget to check out the show notes for any and all links and resources that we talked about today. Next time, we are going to talk about the topic of leaving your associate position and making that leap. And what is it like? And I'm going to have a special guest that has done this, left early. We like to call it their freedom day or your freedom day, that day that you show up for the last time at your associate position. But the reality of losing that, what you feel like is that income that's there, and the realities of making that move from associate position over to practice owner. So we'll see you there. Thanks, everybody.
As we wrap up this episode, take a moment to picture yourself a year from now. Are you still in your associateship? Or are you rocking it at your own dental practice, creating beautiful smiles and making a real difference? If that's the dream, it's time to chase it. Before we split, make sure to hit subscribe, drop a review, and give us your rating. It helps us keep bringing you the good stuff that you're into. Until we meet again, keep taking that next step towards your future practice. Here's to investing in your dreams and making them a reality.